Hallelujah. Praise God. Can everybody hear me okay? Am I coming through loud and clear? Yes. One. That's good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You know, when the Lord is with his people, God has the saints together to come into his presence for fellowship and worship and praise. And whether it's bad weather, which we're having at the moment in the UK, whether it's earthquake, whatever it would be, God has a way of bringing us together so that we come under his banner and listen to his word. And today, as you can probably see, I'm preaching from my home, and we've got the word around today that we're going to be online as usual, but the meeting's not in our hall where we meet, but in our homes, all coming together in the unity and oneness of the Spirit. And before I share this word with you, I'd like just to commit our time before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that you have drawn us together into your presence, because in your presence there's fullness of joy. In your presence there's healing, deliverance, and salvation. But Lord, today you want us to be fed with your presence, your word. Because Lord, we live off you, we sustain from you, we are kept by you alive. And so Lord, today, just be amongst us, and you know how to touch us in the areas of our heart that only you and you alone know how to touch us. Lord, may we all have sweet fellowship together and with you. Father, we are your family, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, that work which you have begun, you will complete and finish. Even though we go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God, yet, Father, you have so many times shown us that you are with us, even through our trials, as severe as they can be. And so, Lord, may our hearts and spirits be enlightened and lifted up into heavenly places as you speak to us now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, greetings and welcome, everyone. It's good to have you into the room. And we trust that we will be encouraged and edified today. And I want to share the word with you, and I want to open up the word. And today, our title for this message is Our Sincerity as Christians. Our Sincerity as Christians. And to be sincere is to be basically genuine. To be clean, to be pure before God and each other. And God wants us as believers to be sincere, to have a genuine sincerity. And I'm basing this teaching today from the Apostle Paul's talk on this. In if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's base it from verse 12. Now, the apostle here is writing to the Corinthians because in this letter, part of this letter, he is affirming his credentials as an apostle. There was a lot of speculation amongst the churches, particularly in Corinth, about the genuineness of Paul, his sincerity, and so they were speculating about this man. Was he genuine? Was he a man of God? And of course we all do that. We all have to apply that discernment, because there are many bogus ministries that are around. So the times then, as they are today, were really no different. And we're basing this teaching this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm basing this from verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. And the apostle leads up into this from his deliverances, from his trials, his sufferings. Remember that he was imprisoned twice and shipwrecked. He went through much for the sake of the gospel. And not only that, but he held the responsibility of all the churches, many of which that he started. And here he says in verse 12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you." So we note that he says our boasting. So when he, in a sense, refers to our boasting, which is the testimony of our conscience, he's speaking not only about himself, but ministry, those that he appointed, those that were called into the fivefold ministry, those that were laboring in the field. He's speaking genuinely there, and generally of all the believers and those in ministry. So he's not just speaking of himself, although himself, he's being that example. And he says here, as it reads, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. And that was always the basis of his ministry and testimony. And all those he encouraged in preaching and teaching as well, that it would always be done in simplicity. And it means here that their lives were not to be complicated. Their life, their consecration was simple. Simple men, called by God, doing a task, a job that God had called and appointed them to. Not getting involved in the world and the world's ways, or in politics, or church politics in that sense, although Paul sometimes had to deal with it. But their lives were kept simple. And again, this is one of the characteristics of a minister, that his life is simple. His life is not complicated. Because God uses that simplicity in which to deliver the saints of God. And as I'm always saying, that a church will only go as far as you are prepared to get behind ministry and stand with it and pray and intercede. Because I'm a great believer that unless the fire falls on the pulpit and the ministers, then the church will never go any further than that. So we all play this part, don't we, as the body of Christ, and in ministry, praying one for another, but especially praying for ministry, and praying that the ministry's life will be a simple life, as it says here, a life that is godly and sincere, not fleshly, worldly, in the world's wisdom, but growing in the grace and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of Almighty God. These are powerful prayers in which to pray and intercede for one another, but especially for ministry. Because as you pray these godly prayers for ministry, you grow as a result of that. And so we see in many ways in the body of Christ that there is a two-way thing. With the saints will only go as far and develop and mature as the ministry that they listen to and they get behind and pray and intercede for. The Apostle Paul asked for that prayer, not only himself, but for the ministry, and that also doors would be opened. He was never afraid to ask for prayer, for ministry. The same as we ask for it, I ask for it as well. So that your prayers will avail much before the throne of God, that I too can preach this gospel in truth and in sincerity, not getting caught up in the world. Because remember that we're all of flesh, human flesh. We all have vulnerabilities. We're all weak in areas. So that it's important that we pray one for another, that through those weaknesses we may be made strong by the prayers of the saints. And that's why I'm calling this teaching this morning, Our Sincerity as Christians. Because we need to be sincere and honest before Almighty God and before one another, so that then we can then pray effectively one for another, and effectively, above all, for ministry. You know, there's a lot of exposure today about ministry and ministers. And I'm all for that, providing that the exposures have been where the body of Christ has interceded and travailed in prayer and intercession for those ministers that maybe are going off or whatever, or are about to be exposed. It's one thing to expose ministry. It is another thing that the saints of God get in true prayer and intercession behind those ministries, so that some of those ministries could be saved from disgrace, from bringing defamation upon the body of Christ. Because you see, every time when we start to expose ministry and churches, there is also a responsibility that is attached to that. Because through that exposure, you've got to remember that the enemy is going to use that, and it can bring a bad slight upon the body of Christ and how the devil uses it. And so when we see that there are ministers that go off the rail, we've got to remember that although that's being exposed, that it also brings defamation upon the body of Christ and is bringing it upon you. Because we're all involved in this. And we need to ask ourselves, when we are exposing or exposing churches or ministries, have I myself got in prayer and intercession? Have I stood in the gap that God will have mercy or save that ministry or save that church? Because at the end of the day, this is about God's glory, about his name, and how the devil wants to try and defame ministries and churches, because he can use that, and he's got one up. So we need to be very sincere and godly as believers. What is my motive? What is my motive when I speak about that church and the problems that are in that church? What is my motive when I speak about a minister that, yes, is off the rails, or yes, there is some things that he's preaching is very off? The question is, have I got in prayer and intercession that God would have mercy over this person or this church? The same as God has had mercy, we need, brothers and sisters, to be sincere. And the apostle was very sincere. It was never in his heart, when he had to expose or expose those that were preaching heresy, he did it with tears. He did it with great sorrow. I'm not always sure that we see that today sometimes in the body of Christ. It's almost like when we read articles or when we read of exposures, as though it's done in an arrogant way. As though God gave me the revelation and the anointing and the authority to expose this man or expose this church. I don't always see or hear that there's a side in that explosion. Please, brothers and sisters, get in prayer. Pray for this brother. Pray for this church, that God has mercy, because this brings such defamation on the body of Christ. I don't always read that or hear that in exposures. And this gives me concern. Yes, we are to discern. We are to test the spirits. We are to be careful what we put our ears to. But we're also to do that in sincerity and true godliness. And that's the difference. It's having the right heart, the right motive. Even when we have to correct someone, or maybe take a brother or sister to one side, which the Word of God says that we're to do. Do we do that in the love of Christ? Do we do it in true sincerity, with every desire within our hearts, that they may be right, that they may be restored back to true fellowship with Almighty God and with the body of Christ. This is important, that we have this right heart and spirit. And so Paul announces this true sincerity. And so he says that he gives himself to the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. So if your life is simple, walking before God, not getting entangled in the things of the world, not God doesn't want you to be involved in, then your life that is a simple life is going to minister that simplicity to others. Today I hear so often in ministry where ministry is not very simple. They're very involved with the world and politics and church politics. And all of this can breed in the message and the teaching, causing other lives to get involved in its ways. And it's not the way God wants us to live. Remember, we're just simply sojourners passing through. We're not of this world. We're of another kingdom. Christ has said that he's gone to prepare for you a place, an abode, where you're to go. That is why we're not to put our roots down in this life, not to get drawn up in this life and the complexity of this life. You know, I find so many believers, brothers and sisters, that at times I have to counsel, who are so stressed out because of their living in this life. And I'm not sure that's how we are meant to live. If we're getting drawn in the world and its complexity, that's going to have its effects on us. Now, of course, we have responsibilities. Of course we have. But God has called us to walk and live by faith and not by sight. And so we need to get this balance. And the apostle himself, he lived that way. And that was part of his example. And he said that he didn't get caught up in this fleshly wisdom. What does he mean by this fleshly wisdom? Well, it's a wisdom of the world, trying to work it out in your own strength. You trying to do it, instead of giving it over to God and letting God deal with every complexity of our life. Yes, our lives are not all simple. Circumstances has made it complicated for us. But that's why we're to give everything over to God and leave it there and let him deal with it. Our problem is we can't leave a thing with God. We want to start to help God out. But our problem is that we're not very good at waiting, because you see, God doesn't work in our time. And so because it seems that God is taking a time, and sometimes we think he's forgotten or whatever it is, we then try to take it on ourselves and try to work it out and so on. And then we find we lose our peace. There comes that stress, that depression, disappointment, and so on. No, brothers and sisters, we leave it with God. Just leave it there and carry on walking with God and enjoying God's presence and fellowship. Because that then keeps us free from the world. It keeps our lives simple. And we can do things in godly sincerity, which is what he wants us to do. Now, only God, of course, can do all of this. You can't do it. All what I'm preaching and teaching this morning is impossible in the flesh. It's impossible with worldly wisdom. That is why we need the wisdom which is not of the world but of God. And as we apply and learn that wisdom, like we're doing this morning, listening to this word, so we can bring these things over to Almighty God and he can begin to change our lives. Get our lives to be simple before the Lord, which is part of our rest that we have by faith in the Lord. I know that families try to get you involved. They try to get you to lose your peace and the problems that they're going through. I know it can be the same if you've got children. Your children are going through trials and they want you to get involved and they want you to go through what they're going through as well. But you see, the wonderful thing is you can listen to all of it and you give it over to God. You intercede, you pray. But you see, my friends, unless we do this in true sincerity, with a clean heart and a pure hands, in a true genuineness, then our prayers don't prevail before God. And I want to talk about this later on in this teaching. This is why I'm calling this message this morning, Our Sincerity as Christians, and basing it from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul was concerned of conducting himself with that simplicity. We can see this in, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Again, we get an insight to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ." So he says, I'm not here peddling the word of God. In other words, he says, it means I'm not exploiting it. I'm not making gain of it. But I do everything in godly sincerity, in honesty. My life is open and it's through trials. Our trials that we go through, which are many, actually make our lives open, exposed, so that the world can see that we are sincere, open, and honest. Now, you may not see that, but that's how God works through your trials. And these trials sometimes can be virtually bring us to the end of ourselves. We feel we're just going under. But you know, God is working sincerity in you. He's exposing you to the world, to your family, your loved ones. He's showing that you have those right motives. You're clean and pure in His sight. That's why I always keep saying, just stay in with your trials. It won't last. It will come to an end. And very often it comes to an end sooner than we realize. But what your trials are doing is that it's making you a true Christian, open. It's uncomplicating your life. It's delivering you. It's bringing the presence of the Almighty God right in your trials, in your tests, for the world and your family and your loved ones to be able to see this. This is the amazing thing of how God uses sometimes these impossible trials that we go through. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not peddling, I'm not exploiting, I'm not making gain out of my ministry, out of my consecration, like sadly so many ministries do today. They can't wait to finish what they have preached, and there they are begging for money, for support, and so on. Making merchandise of the gospel, little realizing that Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. The Apostle Paul freely gave. You and I, brothers and sisters, we freely give. And no finer way of that giving than through the trials that you go through. Yes, it exposes you. It makes you open and naked before the world. Yes, in the flesh we feel vulnerable, but boy, is God working true sincerity and godliness through you that will stand the test of time. The church stands today because of the trials, the tests that it's gone through the centuries. And that's her foundation. That is how she stands. And that is how you and I stand through those same trials that we go through. Your trials continue to build the true foundation of the body of Christ we stand on, which is the rock, Jesus Christ himself. There's so much consecration today that is shallow, that isn't going to stand when those real judgments start to fall. So that's what the apostle was saying here. So these attitudes and motives are absolutely essential in the body of Christ. They're essential for each one of us. Note what it says in also in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer." I think I've got that wrong, sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, I'm sorry about that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." So he says, it's the purpose of the commandments, God's commandment says, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. Also to love each other, your neighbor also. That is the royal law. That is the word in which it's built upon. And he says here, to love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith. This is what we're talking about. This is what the apostle's talking about back here in 2 Corinthians 1:12. This is what he's saying here to this young man, this young evangelist and pastor, Timothy. This is the work in which God is working in our hearts. So our heart and motives is very instrumental. And also with faith. Our faith to believe on the promises of God is important, that we have right motives and we're sincere. At times maybe that our prayers are not answered when we thought they would be, when we were believing in faith, but we can go back to the fact that we may not have really been sincere, that our motives were pure before God. Remember, you see, we come before a holy God, and our faith, and Jesus said, need just the faith of a mustard seed. But that mustard seed of faith needs to be pure, holy, undefiled before Almighty God for him to answer that prayer. And that is why God permits and allows us to go through these trials and tribulations, because that is what keeps us pure, keeps our motives clean before Almighty God. And yes, he wants us to embrace the promises. He wants us to stand upon the promises. But those promises have to be pure, undefiled. It's sincerity. That is the point. And that's how he works that within us. You see, Jesus did everything for the glory of his Father. And it's exactly the same for us. What I'm really talking about here, about being sincere as Christians, is that this gives God all the glory, so that he's glorified. So that he's glorified in blessing you. He's glorified when he heals you, when he delivers you, when he brings you through those impossible trials. He's glorified in everything of your life, my life. Yes, when you go through those deep, deep trials, he's glorified because of the purifying work that he's doing in and through you and I. You might not see it. You certainly might not feel it. You might feel that your whole life as a Christian is a failure. What use am I? There seems to be no anointing, no power on me or anything. The point is that the world doesn't see you and I the way that we see ourselves. They see us quite differently. That is the amazing thing, because the church is a light that's set upon a hill. and that light is never put out. Even though you may feel the light in your life has gone out, or there's no light in your walk or whatever it is, don't you believe it? God knows how to keep his light, that light shining in this world of darkness. Thank God that he does, because if that goes out, none of us have any chance. The world is on a one-way ruination. And so, God is going to protect that light, his light that shines in the church, in your lives and my lives. And that is why we come, brothers and sisters, each week and get under the Word of God and to be fed by the Word of God, because it's like the fuel that keeps that light going. I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish. And that oil for our lamps is essential, so that our lamps don't go out like it did with the 5 foolish. Our lamps are ignited and kept alight through the word that we receive regularly. What God is doing even to now, as we listen to this word, he's giving you the oil of anointing, oil that keeps you going, that oil that keeps that light in you. You in life, my life going. It's this is how we receive this, through the anointed word of God, so that our lights can shine in this world of darkness. It's absolutely essential. We draw faith from the word which we hear, which we're told. So all of this is absolutely essential, brothers and sisters. But God wants us to have, as believers, sincere heart and motive before Almighty God. You see, the sad thing about it is that a lot of brothers and sisters, a lot of churches are not always sincere, open and honest. And that is essential. And that is why we have to walk humbly before God. Our knees have to ever be bowed in his presence, allowing the Spirit of God to break us, to mold us, and to raise us in his image. Which is, he's the only one that can do it. That's why he's that potter and we're the clay. And as clay, we have to make ourselves available in that form, on the potter's wheel, molding and changing us and perfecting us in his image. And you see, when we're in that state and attitude and spirit, then we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the believers, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And to remain in that state of humility, that is how we hear the Word of God. And the Word of God then is ministered to us by grace and not by law. And that grace, as we receive of the Word of God, can do that inner work and change within our hearts, because we're all being spiritually circumcised, changed into his likeness, into his ways. And at times that change is painful. It's not always easy. You see, whom God loves, he rebukes, he chastens. You see, if we're not chastened, if we're not worked upon, then that's a sign we're illegitimate, we're bastards. But as God's hand is working on your life, changing you, molding you into his likeness, that is a clear sign you belong to him. Your trials, my trials, tell me whether I belong to God or not, by the way I react and act in those trials. It's the trials that expose where we are as believers. It's those trials that expose what's really going on in our hearts. And sometimes our trials, what I've gone through sometimes, I have to bow my head in absolute disgrace before God. But God is in control. God allowed me to go through that because he wanted to expose what was in my heart. And the only way I was to see what was in my heart was to go through that severe trial, as much as it was. But you know what? God forgave me. The precious blood of Jesus cleansed me, as he has you. And what did he do? He brings us back into fellowship, into standing with him. And then he begins to show us, yes, I allowed you to go through that because I wanted to work a deliverance in you, a change, to mold you more into my image. That's why the apostle counted it all joy when he went through those trials. He boasted in his trials in the cross of Christ, because it was working the life of Christ in him, sustaining, keeping him, the same as it only can, you and I as well. This is why there's so very little teaching today in churches and ministries that will speak about real trials, that you too are to take up your cross and follow Christ, and that to make it into the kingdom of God, we must go through much trial and tribulation. You know, when they start preaching that, they lose their ministries. They lose a lot of the people. And it's too big a price to pay. But Jesus said, to make it into the kingdom of God, it is narrow, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and many go that way, but that leads to destruction. You know, that's a divine principle working every day in our lives. It's working right now as we hear the word of God. The Bible tells us that the word of God for some is eternal life and for others is damnation. You know that wonderful story that I often give? Two men are walking on a railway line, and a voice from heaven shouts out, a train is coming. One hears it, and the other doesn't. And that's what happens. That's the reality of the Christian walk. That's the reality of listening to the word of God. And so if you find your heart responding, yes, at times it has our name and address on it. Yes, at times we just say, gosh, you know, I don't know whether I can walk this when I listen to this. But Lord, it's your mercy. My life is in your hands. Only you can bring me through. Well, brothers and sisters, I can tell you, you're on your way to heaven. It's those who are offended. It's those who criticize. It's those who try to think that they can do it in their own strength. They're the ones who are not hearing. That is why God calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. You see, a message that I'm preaching today is offensive to the religious ears, to those who walk in that religious pride. They can't accept it. But the humble will. Those who come to the end of their lives, those who've got their lives are a mess. And they've made our lives a mess. And I can't go down any further. There can only be one way, and it's upwards. Well, praise God, you're the one. You're the one that God loves and can work with and can mold and perfect your life and change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh, because it's by his grace and love and mercy. That is the spirit and heart the Apostle Paul walked in. Remember what he did before he was saved. None of us did any got up to those things that he did. Many saints that we see in the Word of God, murdered, killed. Most of us have not done that. And yet look at the lives that were changed, because they wanted to do everything in true sincerity. They wanted to have a pure heart before God. They didn't want to live in a deceitful life. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the churches. I don't lead a double life. What you see, how you see me, is what I am. Because that is the best credential. That is the best witness, is to be what you are in Christ. And you can only change by the mercy and grace of God. That we don't live a lie, we don't act, but we just are what we are by the grace and mercy of God. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that is such a deliverance. That world out there acts. It lives behind a mask. That is why people, relationships, are such in turmoil. 1 in 3 marriages breaking up. People, young people, rebellion. This young generation is rebelling. A lot of it's rebelling because it sees the hypocrisy of its last generation, its parents. whether right or wrong. I'm not saying what they do is right, but a lot of the reason why this generation, these young people, are rebelling like they are, because they see the hypocrisy. They see the hypocrisy in government and so on. Well, brothers and sisters, we're being delivered from that. We've come out of all that confusion. We've come out of confusion in homes, relationships, marriages, and so on. God is uncomplicating your life. He's making your life simple, like it is with the apostle here, so that you can walk in true sincerity and godliness. He's delivering you because he's trying to show you you're simply passing through. You're not of this world. Your life, your roots are not of this world. You are of another kingdom, another age. You are set for eternity. You are set to live and to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone to prepare a new place for you, a new home. Let's get eternity stamped before our eyes. Let's start to get our eyes away from this world and the news and what's going on. Yes, we're to pray for the world. We're to pray for our governments. We're to pray for Israel. But you don't get involved with it politically. That is the point. Because judgment is coming. It's coming to an end. That is, in this dispensation. The kingdom of God is soon to be established upon the earth. The kingdoms that we see now that are rising up are soon to end. They're on their way out. And so, why look to it for comfort? Why look to it as though that can give you your joy, your peace, your future? It can't. Only God can do that change. Hallelujah. So those who we use economy with our words, say. We don't always talk a load of fleshly wisdom, or we just feel sorry for someone. Yes, that can have its place. Yes, we can feel that sorrow. Yes, maybe we can feel what that brother or sister is going through. But we also need to have words which are sincere, which are honest, which help, which build, encourage. We don't patronize one another. And if you don't know what to say, well then it's best to just say, I don't have the words at the moment. But when I have the words, I trust that they will be sincere, godly, and will encourage and help you and build you up in the faith. And that's why we're not to gossip or cause these divisions or to be two-faced. This is all part of living and being sincere as Christians. Not living pretense or being deceitful. You see, our relationship with brothers and sisters is important and what we go through. Because a lot of us go through deep trials and tests. I'm aware of some of you today are going through deep trials and tests. Your faith is costing some of you. Therefore, what we say, how we come over, is important. Because I want all of you to make it through. I want all of you to be blessed, to have God's life shining in and through you, even though you're going through those deep trials. That should always be the true sincerity of our heart. And that's why we can then pray effectively, as it says in James, for each other when we go through the trials that we go through, that our prayers prevail one for another. It's very important. I often ask the Lord when I hear a brother or sister's going through a trial, Lord, let me be touched in some way so that I can pray effectively for them. And do you know often God does? He can just place it in my heart, just a little bit, and what they're going through, so that I can just channel that back in true prayer and intercession, because we need to be sincere. That is the point. You see, hypocrisy is always powerless before people. And that is the nature of it. That is why Jesus prophesied the woes that he did to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were hypocrites. He saw that they were actually powerless. They thought they had power by their wealth, their control over the people, but they didn't. They were powerless. He was exposing the powerlessness of religion. And that is what it is. Religion is powerless. It has a form of godliness, but denies the very power thereof. And he's delivering us from that. Why? Because God is not religious. God didn't set religion through Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. And that's why, you see, hypocrisy is powerless before the people. It isn't sincere. You know, we can often be polite, but being polite can often mean that we're still guilty. So, you see, these things shouldn't be found in us. And the way that we're delivered from this is, yes, you have guessed it, is through the trials and tribulations that we go through. Every trial and tribulation that you go through is working deliverance in you and I, brothers and sisters. It's setting us free. Hallelujah. And I know they're hard sometimes. I know that we can feel we've come totally to the end of ourselves. But stay in there, because it's delivering you. It's making you real. It is setting you and I free. It's so that we can be effective in the body of Christ. Our prayers will be answered. God's removing unbelief in our lives, to our prayers, in our belief in the Word of God. We just don't realize what actually our trials are doing in bringing us forth, purged, purified, making us Christ-like, godly, separated unto Him. But trials are the way. If God had any other way, He would indeed provide that way. But He knows human nature. He knows our hearts too well. This is why, you see, the children of Israel rebelled against God that 40 years in the wilderness. They just didn't have a heart for it. They refused it. They refused to change, to get delivered. But God so often was trying to prove His love, His faithfulness, His provision to that nation right in the wilderness. And He's doing exactly the same with us. Most of us, most of you who are in this room today, you're in your wilderness. You're out there. Some of you are on your own. Very little fellowship. That's your wilderness experience. But do you know what? God's providing. He's blessing you. He's feeding you. He's provided the internet, a room just like this, where we can come and encourage and support one another. Some of you, brothers and sisters, I know, are abroad, thousands of miles away. I long to see you in the flesh. But if I don't, I know I will see you in glory. And we're not far away from that. So hold in there. Stay in there. God is faithful. He will bring us through. That work which He has begun, He will complete and finish, as He said in this word. And so to be delivered, we have to acknowledge it's happening in my life. Your trials are your deliverance. And if you're going through them, then that is a clear sign you are being delivered. God is removing every obstacle in your life, unfettering you, setting you free, raising you up, not in your strength, but in the power and strength of Almighty God. You see, the very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that's working in you and I even right now, raising you up, setting you free. You're kept by that power. That power in the Greek, as we know it, is dunamis power. And that translated means dynamite. It's explosive. That's what you and I are kept by. You cannot be kept by your own strength, your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own understanding of things. You've got to do away with a lot of it and have your mind renewed, changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why we put on the mind of Christ, as it says in Corinthians. Our minds are being renewed and changed. So that is what God is doing. That is the sincerity that you and I are to walk in and to minister. Do you want that? I know that you do. All of us want it. All of us want that change. And God is faithful. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Father, thank you again today. Thank you, Father, for making our fellowship possible. Thank you, Lord, that we were not able to meet today in the hall because of bad weather we're having in the UK. But Lord, that doesn't stop the saints still from coming together and opening the word up. Lord, we trust today that our fellowship, the ministering of this word, has glorified your name. Unless we glorify the name of Jesus, there's no point of fellowship. There's no point of coming together. But Lord, we thank you that our lives have been changed today because we have met with you. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us. Keep us covered by the blood of Jesus, overcoming in all things. Preserve and keep us when we go out and when we come in, and keep us from the evil one, but especially from ourselves. Lord, I pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.